listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, the day after the Academy Awards, and this is Michael Sterling.
Is it? Is it really?
I think so.
Are you Michael Sterling?
Some reasonable
or are you just a reasonable facsimile? Well, you're doing you're Michael Sterling's alter ego, Michael Pewter. I don't
Michael
know.
Michael Pewter?
Or the alter ego of Michael Sterling.
Reaching in your pocket
it
for
was,
that one,
it was. It was. And that was Michael Sterling, and I am Paul Strolley. Welcome to State of the Arts. We're delighted to have you, as always.
Yes.
Well, as always.
We are, of course.
Yes. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the finest...
.com. I'm just going to say that. Every time we have a .com, I'm just going to echo it.
Okay.
Just to give production value. Go ahead. Start
let's
again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com.
.com!
One of the Internet's most prominent go-to listing sites for the live arts in Southern California. We're very grateful to have them lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar, Paul.
Live arts calendar. See, it doesn't work. It only works with .com. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be speaking live via telephone from New York to the lovely and talented musical theater star Brianna Parham, currently co-starring on Broadway with Audra McDonald in Porgy and Bess at the Richard Rodgers Theater.
And in studio with us, ladies and gentlemen, is another lovely and talented lady who is burning it up on the airwaves as star of the hilarious LA Comedy Award-nominated web TV series Good Job, Thanks. Sponsored by the folks at Breakdown Services, in part. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Wonderful. Will you welcome Stephanie Jones? She's in the house.
She is here.
Thank you very much.
And
it's
she's
my
such
distinct
a,
pleasure to be here.
Such a shy, retiring type. Just so quiet. She was like a fragile little flower in the lobby.
I know. And
she
now
was.
Suddenly it's boom.
Yeah. She's blossomed.
She's out there.
She's blossomed.
In
so
the
nice
house.
To meet you and have you on the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. But,
right?
You know, before we...
Michael's not. Michael's a little shaky. I can tell. He's a little shaky.
We'll warm him up.
Let's shake up.
Do
the four.
Promise?
What kind of party is this?
Somebody warm me up. Oh yeah.
So,
how was your week?
You look like you're cold.
I am cold today.
Your hands are crossed, and you just look like you're
a little cold,
waiting for a bus in Chicago.
Something good could be worse, right?
Yep.
No, when it, you know, we have a day like today, and it doesn't really rain. It just kind of sprinkles. It's dark. It's foreboding. You just kind of want it to do its thing, and it never really did it. So.
You know, my mother would refer to that as?
What is that?
This is what she would say. Ask me how the weather is, and I will respond to describe a day like today. Ask Charlie.
How's the weather?
It's raw.
Raw?
It's raw outside. It's very raw.
My mother loves to say raw. Yeah.
She says it well.
Yes, she does.
It's raw. It is. It's just, it's a little damp. I would say raw.
She's very, very charming. His mother,
she
really.
Is, yeah.
Well, he's exaggerating a little bit.
That's the most polite thing to say about her.
She's
a doll. She is a doll. But she doesn't listen to the show.
She does not?
No, she doesn't have a computer.
Oh.
I don't want that interweb. I don't need it.
Well, you need to buy one of the special radios that picks it up.
The special radio? Oh, right, for the internet radio.
That's
oh,
right.
That's true.
Could be a little Christmas present.
I could.
Little birthday present.
That's right.
Little Mother's Day present.
What do you work for QVC?
How about that?
Jeez, unending.
So listen, folks, we have to talk about, first of all, how are you, Paul? And I haven't seen you for a whole week.
I'm good. Yeah. The beard is irritating me.
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's just so not you. I'm so not used to seeing this beard.
Well, it's just I'm doing Ibsen. It's not like it's a design choice of mine. I have to look like I'm miserable and Swedish.
Choice.
You know, miserable and Swedish.
And too raw to shave.
And too raw.
But it is. It's irritating. It's itchy. And I look in. I mean, as we've said before, I already am aging like 5 times faster than my wife. So already I look like the perv. Just walking around naturally with her because she's 44 and looks like she's 20, and I'm now 47 and look like I'm 70 with this beard.
Well, not quite.
So it's just the perv factor is getting even bigger as time goes on.
Well, no, I think it's actually becoming. I think, but you know, that growth thing, I've tried it myself. It's
see, you said becoming, yeah. But yet your face, the people on the can't see
the
it on the radio.
The face is not so becoming.
You said becoming, but your
grimace,
face looked nauseated.
Grimace.
Yeah. You're just like, it's very becoming.
Ball.
Yeah. No, you had just, you did the wrinkled brow thing.
Yeah.
You know.
It's kind of like people on the red carpet last night at the Academy.
Yeah. What about that? What about that? How'd you like it? How'd you think Billy did?
I thought he did terrific, actually.
Yeah.
It was a
Stephanie,
refreshing
change. What did you think?
I thought it was fine and dandy.
Yeah.
You know, I loved watching the gowns and the Cirque du Soleil flying around. Everybody was beautiful and great.
And we had an adult host back in the hosting tours there, huh?
You know, we were talking. I was talking to Kennedy, who produces the Mother of Love show. We were out in the lobby talking about it before you guys got here. And it's I just don't understand why that niche can't be filled. There are so many funny comedians out there, but hosting is a completely different skill set. And to do a hosting job, why people feel that they have to go to the lowest common denominator with either the sexual innuendos or just the insult humor, it's like it's such an easy card to play, and you can't sustain it for a 3-hour broadcast. You have to be more inventive than that. And I refuse to believe, with all the people in this industry, that they can't compile better writers that just can have someone. It's the Gervais thing. I love Ricky Gervais. I think Ricky Gervais is one of the funniest guys out there. But why does he have to host in that style? He could do it in any. He's gifted enough to do it any way he wants. I think it's just because it's so provocative that it generates web hits and generates discussion. You know, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but I like Ricky and you know Billy. I mean, I think it takes experience too to do these things. You can't throw an Anne Hathaway into it. Like they did last year.
Yeah.
Was it last year?
Yeah.
And who was the other
It was
young
last
man?
Year, but you've blocked it.
Yeah, who was the other young man? Was it
James Franco?
Yes, James Franco. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
I didn't mind any of that, though. I thought it was great. And I love Jon Stewart, and I loved Ellen, and I just love it when anybody does it.
Ellen
I don't
is
think
an
everybody
exception.
Needs to
I don't
be
know
so
about
thought Jon Stewart was excellent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was all right. He was okay.
But
that's
a good point, too.
I mean,
you
know, they're
not
so sensitive about themselves.
Yeah.
We can make fun of ourselves. They know that they're like the glitterati of the universe, and once a year they get a little poked at. I think it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say I think that it's fine to do that. I think that it has to vary, though.
It doesn't need to be mean, and
even mean I'm okay with if it's a seasoning on something else. But if it's just going to the insult well over and over, it's not even a matter of it being like, oh, it's insulting. It's just redundant over time. Don't you
think? Speaking of mean, and I don't mean to be mean by saying this, but I'm going to say it before we.
You're going to be mean. It's going to be about clothes.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about Angelina Jolie sticking her leg out at every opportunity.
I was going to talk about Angelina Jolie, but not for that reason, because I thought she looked, the dress was wonderful, and the legs
gorgeous.
Were fabulous, and she looked very pretty. But you got to look at the arms there.
Yeah, I know. I know.
What was that?
I don't know.
It caused great concern, actually.
Yeah. She looks skeletal.
Yeah. And anorexic, I mean, to the point in the arms.
But she was not the only one up there, though. There was a number of people that just had that sort of, like, you know, real, just TV, what did they say, TV bodies? TV bodies? I call them Don Knotts bodies, but it's very similar. Dating myself.
I just figure, you know, when you're someone that so many people look up to, you should be very conscientious about what you're doing to your body and how you look at all times.
And also, but it's the yardstick. It's the yardstick, too, because you look at Tina Fey.
Right.
Tina Fey, who has a perfectly normal bordering on slim body. She's a perfect, a beautiful woman. And yet on that canvas, she looked big because of the Skeletors that she was, you know, put in there with.
Yeah.
It just, anyway.
And a big dress on top of it.
And it was an ample dress.
She put her hands in the pockets, I think, right? To make it even bigger.
Did she?
You know, yeah, I think
so. I didn't notice that.
And I'm not a fashion guru. I don't pretend to be anyway. I just have an opinion.
You don't pretend to be. You don't pretend to be. All right, I'm going to try to do some of this technical stuff.
Excuse me.
And see if we can connect with New York here with our little system while I try to type in these numbers.
How sweet is she to do this on her day off of eight shows a week.
We're calling her now, and hopefully we will hear from her shortly. You want to give her the intro?
I will, Michael? Indeed. And as Paul is doing that, ladies and gentlemen, as we announced earlier, she is no stranger to Broadway. Our first guest joins us via telephone from New York, where she's currently starring with Norm Lewis, David Alan Greer, and the multi-Tony Award winner, Audra McDonald.
The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
Oh, that's great.
Wait a minute.
No, that was the number I called. Yeah. You want to try it? Let me see.
Let's try it again.
I can't say the number to you out loud because I don't want it to go out over the air. But I got to say, I dig that timing. That was just perfect. You had the whole perfect mellifluous intro. It was just, the person you are calling.
It could have been worse. I get an New York accent could have come on there. You know, one of those.
I'm going to try her again.
Brooklynese kind of things.
Yeah, we got it.
You know what? We actually, in anticipation of something going wrong,
right
here on the sheet so we can call him on the radio.
Call him about it, really? Well, let's see if she picks up this time. Maybe she'll call in. Who knows? We've been very lucky with our call-ins. We haven't really done we haven't had too many choppy
before, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, you've reached Brianna. I am not available, so please leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks a lot, and have a fabulous day. Bye.
We're progressing.
I'll leave her a message.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hello, Brianna. This is Paul Strolley from State of the Arts here
and
with State
Michael
of the Arts
Sterling.
With Michael Sterling as well. I was going to give you your billing.
I was just going to say my little thing.
Please call us back because we're leaving you this message on the air. We were looking forward to speaking to you at 9 minutes after the hour. And if you want to give us a call back here in the studio to chat about your current production of Porgy and Bess, we would love to chat with you. We're at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. 0815. Give us a call and we will chat. Thank you so much. So we left her a message.
We did indeed.
Now we've done all we can.
Indeed.
You know, we try, Michael.
We do try.
We try.
Should I call the agent?
No. Let's talk to the lovely lady we have in the studio with us.
I think you're right. We've got the real deal right here.
And if she calls back, she calls back. And if not, for some reason, I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be absolutely fine. But let's give her due. Can I give her the...
Yes, please do.
Our guest is a current L.A. Comedy Award nominee as Funniest Actress in a Comedy Series, that series being for her role as Linda Livingston Black, a very unpolitically correct... Is it unpolitically or impolitically? Unpolitically correct?
Non-politically correct.
There you go. Non-politically correct or politically incorrect casting director.
That's right.
In Great Job, Thanks, which has also been nominated...
Good Job, Thanks.
Oh, Michael wrote Great Job,
I did.
Thanks.
Oh, forgive me. That's my bad.
Good Job, Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's Good Job, Thanks, but it's a great web series.
Right.
You see the way I did that?
.com.
In Good Job, Thanks, which has also been nominated by the LA Comedy Awards as Best New Comedy Series, please welcome the lovely and talented Stephanie Jones. I'm giving you two.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm giving you two.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. So nice to have you here.
It's a pleasure.
Okay.
In person.
This is funny. This is very funny.
It's a very funny
And
show.
We have to be very careful how we talk about it because Michael bristles. Michael is far more cultured than I am.
Uh-huh.
I think that's sort of a given, you know.
Could you tell?
Well, Linda is foul-mouthed, you guys.
Yeah, she is.
Hey, I who said I don't appreciate a foul mouth? I do. Every once in a while.
But
we'll keep it
well behaved.
Occasionally, I'll get Michael to share a story or something privately that is ribald. Would that be the
proper
ribald?
I think so.
Yeah, but you're not a big fan. It's not that you don't use that language.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not a big fan of it. Like you don't. It just doesn't really populate your speech very much.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas me, every other word out of my mouth is.
No,
something on a
it's not.
Ball.
You're just saying that. You're not.
But this character obviously arrived at, and I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Please.
Is it literally just a hybrid of casting directors you have met? Is it a particular casting director that you've known? Is it just something you created from the ground up?
It is the creation of my manager, Ryan Glasgow, who's been a talent manager and a talent agent for the past 2 decades. And so it's a whole conglomerate of stories that he's come up with. And yes, it is very inspired by a few casting directors in particular.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Any of them?
Do any of them wear cowboy hats?
Well, I think if you watch the show and if you've been in any casting rooms, you will quickly come to figure out who it is.
Who they are.
You know? But yeah, it's a composite of what Ryan's come up with and also his own voice.
His own voice.
Yeah, a lot of the funnier, we call them Linda-isms.
Right.
A lot of the funnier things are the things that I can't be saying on your show today. The Linda-isms are Ryan Glasgow's particular speak.
Okay, I think we might have one Linda-ism that we can share.
We can share that
I
one.
Think we can share this
Let's
Linda-ism.
Hear that.
It's a fairly safe one, so let's give this a shot.
Here we go.
Good job. Thanks. The next time I ask you to set up ugly women, I don't want to see a bunch of exotic, curvy types. I want, honest to God, punch me in the throat to keep me from puking ugly.
What are you talking about? It was a fucking kennel club in here today.
Kennel club in here today. Oh, God, well, that's funny.
You should explain for our listeners the premise.
Yeah, the whole premise.
The premise
of the show.
Is Linda Livingston Black is a casting director in Hollywood now. And it's about what the business is like. It's about the frustrations of the business, the difficulties, the funniness. It's for actors. As actors, it's the most grueling experience to audition. It's brutal and it's painful. And so this is really a vindication and a validation for actors. You think that what we're showing is a bunch of bad actors auditioning. That's a lot of the montage. That's how we start.
Right.
But that's because the parody of that is every single one of us as an actor has gone into the room and done our best and poured our hearts out. And then the casting director goes, good job, thanks. Yeah. And we all know what that means.
Right.
And good job, thanks is a catchphrase for not only this business, but I mean, I'm using it constantly and so is everybody else in my whole life because it says everything. But the point is, it's about the casting room and the business and the frustration with it. And as you watch each episode, there's always a theme in each episode of something that we're up against. For instance, casting for a role but saying submit star names only. And so you see 50 actors and you're really not even going to look for one of those actors because you're waiting for, you know, someone who is a star who you've given a direct offer to call and book the part, and you don't even have to really see any of the actors.
Right. Right.
Every single episode we address something like that that's going on in the room.
Right, right.
Now, when you have a sidekick.
Well, the theme of season one is that I can't keep an assistant.
Right.
I fired 5 assistants. Mm-hmm. And Barbara is one of them who keeps coming back. She's played by Sandy Martin, who is Napoleon Dynamite's grandma. And Napoleon Dynamite, you know, has an animated series going on right now, and it's just delightful. And Sandy is the voice of Grandma. But she's Barbara, my nemesis, kind of my favorite assistant, who I can't quite get rid of. And she makes a reoccurring...
Who also impersonates you in some episode, doesn't she?
Which one are you thinking of?
Well, where she tells the young man that she is actually you.
Oh, exactly. She steals... a very attractive love interest from me.
Right.
She cock blocks me again. And then by the end, you'll have to watch episode 8 and 9, but she has conspired with all my fired assistants to do me in.
Okay. And but just to keep our ratings on iTunes fine, what she's referring to is that she took the rooster out of your yard. Is that
That's
what it
right.
was? Exactly.
That's
okay.
Right.
So you're okay.
It was all about Poulet. Poulet mon coq.
I think we should play that. That's our soundbite.
You are beat red.
What?
You are beat red. Are you?
Am I?
Yeah. Or flushed. Are you? Are you okay?
No, I didn't know I was beet red. Must be my rosacea. Thanks for pointing it out, Michael. I appreciate it.
I was going to ask if you still have Stephanie's show on pause there. Do you have?
I do. Yeah.
Let's say a little more.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But you asked for it.
No, it was not.
Oh my God, what is it with you and how gay you are? These were not ugly women. How can you ever be a casting director if you can't tell the difference between Pamela Anderson and a flat-chested hairlip in a wheelchair?
But their agents and managers said they were ugly.
I can be uglier.
No, you can't. Thanks for your willingness. Have a good day.
Could I just ask what you thought of my performance just now?
This is good.
It's just that I've been working really hard in my acting class. Okay. I never get good auditions like this. And when I do, my agent just never ever gives me any feedback. And I just need to know, like, how am I doing as an actress?
I couldn't tell you anything about your acting, dear. All I know is that you messed up the words at the top of the scene and then you said crap instead of shit. This is cable, honey. We say bad words. So I just dismissed you and moved on. That's how you did. There. You feel better?
And we go on from there.
Wow.
No, that's... And you know what? It's a shame that we... or radio, and that they can't see this, and we put that website out there again. What is give us the
www.goodjobthanks.com.
.com. Yes.
All the episodes are up there, and we also have our own Facebook page, and yeah.
Because the quality is great too. I'm just watching it here, and the quality is just like it's shot well.
Thank
it doesn't
you.
Look like.
No.
I mean, I gotta say, a lot of people are just like, oh, I got a webisode. And then you go a webisode, and it's basically a home video that they move the camera around a bit for. But this is very clean, very elegantly shot.
Thank you.
Very funny. Very funny.
Yeah, the production value is quite high. We have a wonderful composer. He's done an original score for each and every episode.
That would be Scott Chasek, is
that
it?
Yeah, that's Scott. He's on tour right now with the Great American Rejects. We have Enrico Natali as the fabulous director who helped Linda become really ribald in the very beginning. He really, developed that sort of persona. The colorfulness of the set, Arnella is a beautiful set director, and the production values are extremely wonderful. And I mean, everybody on the team, we have a tremendous team. And that's part of what's happening here is that everybody is working together to create this. And you know what the miracle is? One more thing. We've completed an entire season.
Yes. Yes, you have.
In LA, we have had a team of 15 people get together 9 different times. And
what
we completed
odds?
Season one. It's an amazing thing. So we're going towards season two now.
It's funny that you say that because I was looking through. Well, the first thing I thought when I looked at the promotional material was that there actually are credits. I mean, there actually are people there. More often than not, it's just like, oh, I have a web series. And you look and it's, you know, 3 people all with the same last name putting up the web series. But it's just like there's some people here with some nice credits and some, you know, obviously the experience. I just love the fact that Ryan Glasgow is a former agent and that the creator actually lived in that world for so long.
He has, and he's got several other projects that he's doing, but Good Job Thanks is his brainchild. The next thing that we're doing is we are developing sponsorships. So each episode is sponsored by somebody. As you know, Breakdown Services is sponsoring the entire run.
Right.
But for instance, Zen Gray Personal Trainer is the sponsor of episode 8, and Chocolate Storm, who is a wonderful comedian, sponsors episode 9, and Steve Easton, a beautiful acting coach, sponsors episode 8. So this is the other brilliant thing we're doing, is creating a variety show with sponsors who continue to be exposed online to the market of actors every single time somebody watches the show.
Right. And they have a great piece of film representing them.
Well, yep, forever.
They do. And it's quite funny. It's the setup to the episode. It kind of precedes
the setup.
Episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's very clever, actually.
And
very
then clever. In one episode, Kirsten Vangsnest, who is the...
you just made that up.
Wonderful girl on...
Kirsten Vangsnest?
Yes,
yeah,
Kirsten
that's
Vangsnest.
That's an affliction, isn't it?
She's in Criminal...
Criminal Minds?
Now I'm having a moment where I'm forgetting everything, but she's my psychologist. She's my psychologist in one episode, and our session is over, and she says, good session, thanks.
Yes, I saw that one.
And to which you say?
I go ballistic.
Yeah. Ballistic means probably obscene.
Oh, yes, I know. Yes,
she's editing herself here for your sake, not mine, because I'd be perfectly fucking okay with it. He just rolled his eyes. You could hear the eye roll.
Yeah, really. No, seriously, what's something like this? What's an investment on something like this? Seriously. I mean, to do a web series, it can't be incredibly inexpensive by comparison, of course, to television it is.
We're doing it on a shoestring, and a lot of people are working for free.
Yeah, God bless them all.
And so, you know, each episode we are trying to put in the can for between $3,000 and $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I tell you, that's astonishing.
That's still money that has to be raised.
But my point was, to look at this, it does not look like it. I've seen stuff that they had much bigger budgets that didn't look this good. Yeah.
Right.
It's gorgeous. So. And what I want for season two, of course, is I'm wanting some of these scouts that are out there looking for new media, for content for the internet, for internet-only content, or a network, a showrunner, somebody who's looking for high-quality product that they want to acquire.
Because you are a co-executive producer on this, aren't you?
Yeah. Right.
So let me ask you something. How did you, your manager, Ryan, how did you find one another? You are not from Los Angeles originally. You are from
Denver?
Denver.
This is a
and then Santa Fe.
I'm from Denver and Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And my husband, Peter, and my daughter, Audrey, and I were going to move out to California, and I was looking on Craigslist for a place to rent. And guess what? The first person I called was Sandy Martin, Napoleon Dynamite's grandma, fabulous actress. She also rents property.
So that was
and
the.
And I rented my first house from Sandy. And Sandy was already with Ryan. And so after a couple of years and Sandy seeing my work and coming to see me in plays and things like that at the Glendale Center and Lonnie Chapman Theater, I did a lot of theater. Sandy recommended me to Ryan and to Bohemia Entertainment Artists. And so I went there and met Ryan, and I went to one of his acting classes, and he has this little script that he's written about a casting director seeing actors.
Oh, wow.
And we were just playing one night in workshop, and I said, yeah, good job, thanks. The next day, Ryan sent me a script, and he said, here's your new role. And within 2 weeks, we were shooting our first episode. It just happened like magic.
Yeah.
It was
because you've really put on
beautiful.
This character like a skin. I mean, I just met you outside earlier, but just watching this clip, and obviously it's not something that people can get listening to the audio from these things. They're meant to be seen, obviously. But just the look and it's really the attitude that you just captured, the attitude of, and I don't want to say too many disparaging things about casting directors, but I think that,
go ahead.
It's a byproduct of the business that they have a tendency to view us as cattle, because they, when you see herds of people, you tend to view them as cattle, and you just, you know, and not all of them are like that. Some of them truly manage to just, you know, remember who you are, know who you are, treat you well. It's just, I always, you know, in this town, I mean, do you know of any other profession where people are told where they can't park? There's never no painter parking. There's never no, you know, waiter parking.
Right.
It's like no actor parking. It's a perfect example of how where we are. My friend David George used to say, you only have to look at the design of a theater to see where the actor is on the totem pole. Because look at the fire curtain. If there's a fire, It protects the audience and turns the stage into a chimney. So you really only have to look at fire codes in a theater to see where the actor is held in esteem. So I mean, I always thought that was hysterical.
And there are only a couple of exceptions, but most of the casting directors who are watching this absolutely love it.
Mm.
And the reason why Ryan invented this, to get back to the beginning of the history of it as I'm remembering it, is to get some of us in the room.
Yeah.
Because this can go directly into casting directors' emails and they can watch it, because that's part of the business now, is that you cannot get a new actor in the room who doesn't have a bunch of credits already. So
right.
This was the other brilliant little thing that was going on here.
It
developed bigger than that and turned into a show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great, because the thing is, it's sort of like watching, you know, it's like you know, you want to watch things that are related to your own field and have fun poked at them, and, you know, they have a sense of humor about it.
Well, you have to have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
You have to, really.
You mean me specifically?
No. I mean, you know, the whole business, it takes itself too seriously. Yeah. And I guess the beauty of this is those people who make it, of course, and go through this hellacious, exposure to people like this character that you've created, and they are out there for sure, because I used to do this too, but...
It was acting.
A different time. It wasn't quite so intense, you know. It was different. And but you know, if you make it, then of course you are the one that's having the last laugh on all of this, and
what?
You know, can pretty much call your shots on anything, right?
Yes.
So that's the payoff, I guess. It doesn't happen for everybody, but it certainly happens for many people.
Yeah.
And also, as an actor, there's been nothing more freeing than pretending I'm a casting director.
Oh yeah.
Because every single audition I go to now, there's that level of confidence and just know-it-allness that takes that horrible, scary edge away, that no matter who you are as an actor, you always have your heart start pounding, if you really still care about it,
right,
when you go into the room.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because people always talk about the stress of a job interview. And the thing is that that's why actors have it the hardest, because every audition is a job interview. And then a lot of times, especially with the day player stuff, you get it, and then it's over, and you're back to doing the job interview. Most of the fields that that jobs other people have, you do your job interview, you get the job, and you're not doing the job interview for a while. But actors, it's about the job interview over and over and over and over again. So
and or certainly, you know, knowing, such as what we just had at the nightclub, LA's Next Great Stage Star, if somebody's kind of helping you along, such as your manager and him knowing someone and can maybe call in a little bit of a favor and ask, you know, for something, big or small, whatever that means, but just the connection alone, which actually happened for one of our guests last week. Which
really?
I did this morning. It was simply a very simple matter of writing the casting person, who I know, and saying, thank you so much for seeing... And I said the name, and because he's going to be such a terrific star in the near future, surely you could have told that. And, you know, 20 minutes later, I got an email from him. Hey, I just got a call back for the very show that he went in. Now, am I responsible for that? I'm not entirely certain, but...
Because you hadn't received the check yet, right?
I had not. No, but what I'm saying is that a word dropping in like that on to a casting director who's a friend of mine who just saw someone that she... You know, didn't realize was connected, might have made a little difference. I'd like to think that it would.
Oh,
he's very talented. I mean, he certainly deserved to be called back as far as I'm concerned.
I think anything that calls attention to people, they get the role because of their own work.
Right.
But anything that calls attention to them to get them seen, to have the opportunity to get the role, is good. And one of the things, we're poking fun at casting directors here, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people they see. You know,
it's a brutal, hard job.
Yeah.
Tough.
Because if you've ever sat in on a session, I have on a few, if you're seeing 30 people, really probably only 3 or 4 of them are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them aren't that great. That's how all of us learn.
Right.
But it starts to become mind-numbing.
Yeah. And you get, and you can't, you wonder, I always wonder how they stay sharp. I mean, how do you stay sharp?
Well, this is what's funny about this show is that I don't think they always do.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's why they could put you on tape and everything else. But I wanted to say, one of the things you were just saying, do you ever know a doctor who's got to do a surgery to practice to see if you want to hire him?
Right.
You know, does the lawyer have to win a case to get the job from you? Nobody else on the planet has to continually, constantly prove themselves the way an actor.
That's why we're such basket cases actors, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're so brilliant, too. We can go into rapport instantly, like someone instantly, scope out the room instantly, figure out the choices instantly.
You get a tremendous perception. You get a tremendous skill. Yeah, that's true. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do agree.
Yeah?
I mean, it's as much of an art as any art, certainly, and any job description that anybody else has, and perhaps more interesting because it is very intuitive. You know, it's very intuitive. And I think that even the casting director's job, at the end of the day is something that is very difficult to do because they're also keeping their themselves in what they do in the best possible light for the people they're working for so that they can continue to have a career, right?
Exactly.
You bring
right.
in the greatest actors.
They're performing
in
a way, too.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's what season two will be about, is how many pressures Linda has on her
right.
to perform.
Right.
Okay.
So we can't wait for season two.
See?
Website again?
www.goodjobthanks.com.
.com. Let's do our arts calendar, Michael.
Yes.
Shall we do it?
Yes, we should.
Okay. Do you want to kick it off?
I will. It's spring in a bucolic English country village time.
Bucolic? Bucolic? Is
yes.
that what
it says? Yeah. Is it? You mispronounce it?
No. That's when... no. I was trying to get a bucolic joke, and I just failed miserably. And I can't deceive people. I can't deceive people. So I'm just going to accept the failure and we'll move on.
Who would have thought there would even be a
bucolic joke? Yes. Well, that's just it. There wasn't.
Oh, so. Okay. So I'll say it again.
Sorry.
It's spring in a bucolic English country village time to choose a May queen from the lovely local maidens, but the only virgin to be found is Albert Herring, a meek mama's boy who reluctantly becomes Loxford's first May king. After his friends spike his lemonade with rum at the coronation ceremony, Albert discovers the nerve to assert himself for the first time in his life. Tenor charmer Alec Schrader will make his company debut in the title role, with sopranos Janice Kelly and Christine Brewer sharing the role of the formidable Lady Billows. Albert Herring is on stage now through March 17th at the Los Angeles Music Center's Dorothy Chandler Pavilion with LA Opera. And for tickets, call 213-972-8001 or visit LA Opera at laopera.com.
.com. On Saturday, March 3rd, for one night only, the award-winning Los Angeles Contemporary Dance Company will present Nana. Nana? Nana?
Either.
You I say Nana. At Celebrate Dance 2012, a renowned dance festival presented annually by executive producer Jamie Nichols. Don't miss the chance to see this emotionally potent and visually captivating work of 9 choreographers along with 7 other amazing Southern California dance companies, including the Hysterica Dance Company. Is it Hysterica?
Yes.
It's not Hysteria?
No.
It's not a misprint?
Nope.
You sure?
I am positive.
The Hysterica Dance Company, Invertigo Dance Theater, Malashok Dance Company, and the Regina Klenjoski Dance Company. Thank you so much for that, Michael. Jeez.
You'd like that.
Yes.
And when is that show?
Once again, this Saturday, March 3rd, 8 o'clock at the Alex Theater in Glendale, California. For tickets and further information, visit www.alextheater.org. And theater is spelled the affected way with the R-E. So it's alextheater.org.
And you know how I knew about the Hysterica Dance Company.
How did you know?
Because I'm the choreographer for them.
You're the choreographer?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know you choreographed.
I did choreograph.
I knew you directed.
Not.
I knew you. I knew you directed. I knew you produced. I knew you were,
yes, those two
you
things
were
I do do.
A dessert topping and a floor wax. But I didn't know that you were a choreographer.
No, I cannot claim to be.
But you were a dancer for years.
I danced. I wouldn't put the ER.
I danced. Did everyone hear the hear the air quotes around that? Danced? I danced.
I danced. Yes.
I danced too. And then they asked me to stop. Because I dance like other people sees. So I'm not a, it's not really a
not
pleasurable thing to
watch. Not your forte. Not your fort.
Stephanie, tell me about what you did preceding this. Give us a little bio background on yourself before you came out here. And what you, you mentioned, even out here, you mentioned Glendale Center Theater, which is one that Michael is very familiar with.
And
what
I
did
see
you do
you're
with
drinking
them?
A bottle of water.
That's
of
how you and I first got acquainted, was that you recommended me for a show because Tosca
Correct.
Was looking for somebody.
Correct.
But when I came first, I sent out my headshot to Glendale and got Corey's mother in Barefoot in the
Barefoot
Park.
Barefoot in the Park, yeah.
And that was lovely because when I was 23, I played Corey, my first acting job in Denver, and Corey's mom was my first at Glendale here in L.A., so it was really special.
Oh, wow.
And then I went on to do Squabbles, which is a really little-known play, very hilarious, mm-hmm. and then A Murder is Announced, mm-hmm. Agatha Christie's A Murder is Announced. And then in the...
Both at Glendale?
All those three at Glendale,
mm-hmm.
And I also was so lucky to get to do Boston Marriage, David Mamet's Boston Marriage at the Lonnie Chapman Theater.
Oh, okay.
Which also is a huge historic place that I didn't even know how much history was there until I got cast in that show.
Well, that's been there forever.
Yes,
yeah.
It has.
Yeah. Years and years and years. So I did have a nice run with theater, and I think I'm actually the next play I'm going to do is the Columbine Project.
And that would not be at Glendale Center Theater.
That's going to be, no, at the Avery Schreiber, but right. Yeah, not at Glendale. Yeah.
They have a play on the Columbine Project?
The Columbine Project, and it's a very provocative play, and it's been approved and blessed by a lot of the parents and people who have been involved with that whole issue. And
wow.
So I'm really looking forward to doing something with that. I think it's going to be a very powerful experience.
That was an astounding book, just Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
The book Columbine that the local, he was a local columnist, and he wrote a book about the story of the Columbine shooting. And it was fascinating because what was probably so unnerving to me about it, not to go off on a Columbine rant, but those kids, they were just, what they were describing, the behavior that they were describing before it all hit the fan, I saw in high school, you saw it in high school, you saw it in high school. We all saw those misfits. Mm-hmm. I was one of those misfits. And where does that switch happen? What was it?
I don't think we had guns as available in our day.
No, we didn't.
I know for one thing, I think that's part of it. And I lived in Denver. I was 3 miles away. I mean, I was in Littleton. I'm from there.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
That's where I'm from. But when I started to think about it, you know, I wouldn't have known where to get my hands on a gun.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the issue.
Oh, it's a huge part of it. It's a huge part
of it. The bullying and all of that's gone on throughout time. People are cruel and children are certainly cruel.
Yeah. No, but that's so how much did that inform this? Have you already auditioned for it?
I auditioned last week.
Okay.
And they're going to, this is a reprise. They did the play last year, I believe, and they are also developing a movie. You know, they're developing a screenplay.
Now, who is the casting director on this?
Well, I know Bree Pavey. That's the only person I know.
Do you want me to call
names
her?
Involved.
A writer.
You know, Michael calls
but
people.
I think I've got an inside line on it.
Stuff gets done. Michael calls.
No, are you kidding me? I'm paying him after this.
Yeah. I'm going to put a number on this piece of paper.
Okay, just slide it over.
So we talked briefly in the lobby before Michael got here about how damn irritating he is. No. I love him dearly. We talked briefly in the lobby about and you shifted a little bit on it, so I'm not sure if you want to pursue this. But I was talking about how at the end of the show we always like to talk about some disastrous thing that happened to someone while they were performing or on stage or something, and you weren't sure that you were ready to share it or if you had one readily available.
I didn't know if I had one readily available.
No.
But what came to mind was, I worked at the Mercury Cafe. That's where I started to be an actress in Denver. It's the most magnificent cafe and theater. And
like a cabaret?
Yeah,
or?
It's a big old cabaret, and it developed naturally from vegan and vegetarian food, mm-hmm. and then, you know, community center, and then theater, and then bands and everything. We actually had Roseanne there, one of her first gigs.
Oh,
and
wow.
Close your ears, Michael. This was when she first did this joke where she goes, "Well, they can suck my dick." And I tell you, back in the 80s, we were astonished at how funny it was.
Well,
it was so funny. But the Dead Kennedys played there one time.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
We were like a big punk place in there. But we got up in the ceiling to watch them because there was no room on the floor. And we fell through the ceiling.
Oh, my gosh.
Onto the dance floor. About five of us fell through the ceiling. It wasn't me performing, but it was one of the most memorable experiences because, I mean, it became what really was a mosh pit.
Yeah. Now, happily, though, I mean, I'm assuming,
okay.
hopefully, that there were enough people on the dance floor to break the fall.
We all absorbed each other.
Okay.
And everyone was so loaded that no one even remembers, but I'll never forget it because when that ceiling caved in, it was just such a feeling.
So you actually get to say, and you're not lying, you actually get to say, you know, I fell through the ceiling once at a Dead Kennedys concert.
I do.
Oh, man. You know the Dead Kennedys?
I don't.
They were. Why does that news fail to surprise me? No, the Dead Kennedys were a punk band in the late 70s, early 80s. Jello Biafra?
Mm-hmm.
Jello Biafra.
And Jello's mom was there.
Really?
And we fell on her.
Yeah. Jello Biafra was the lead singer of the Dead Kennedys. A very influential, along with Black Flag, an influential punk band at the time after the Sex Pistols sort of hit. Thanks to Jeff Ayers, my great, great friend, who acquainted me with Dead Kennedys. He was my high school friend, and then we were roommates in college together. And he told me all about their shared... Because it's not really... Punk isn't really my thing, but I was sort of fascinated by the culture. The music wasn't really my thing. It was fascinated by the culture.
Cool.
Yes. You couldn't find this less interesting.
No, I don't have any reference to those.
Right.
Those are way before me, or I think.
Well, there was
They're Dead Kennedys. They're
to the side
of you.
There was the side coming up from the rear.
There was a Dead Kennedys musical.
About
See, I was just I was hoping to see if it interested you.
I mean, don't know.
Anyway, I'll have to think about what were the worst things that ever happened to me, because I've blocked it, I think.
You were talking about Roseanne. I think one of the reasons it was so funny when you're talking about Roseanne also performing at that place, those first lines that she would deliver, the fact that she could not have looked more middle America and more, I want to say cherubic, but just like... You know, just easygoing, and to have those lines come out of her mouth, it was just... I remember Carson, when they used to do these compilations on Carson, and one of them was Great Stuff. And it was a Carson compilation called Great Stuff, where they put all of these comedians together on one tape or DVD of their first performances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. So they had Roseanne, and they had... George Carlin, and they had all of these different people, Jay Leno, and Roseanne burned it down like I don't think I've ever seen anyone on a first. I mean, people were apoplectic.
You'd never seen anything like her.
Yeah, no, they were just. I mean, it was astounding. It really was astounding.
I thought of a bad story.
Did you?
It was sad.
Really?
For me.
Roseanne Barr fell through a ceiling?
This segued me into my first film project. My partner and I produced and wrote and did everything for our movie called God Drives a Pontiac. 16mm feature film, and we got into the Long Island Film Festival, and this was at the same time of Kevin Smith's Clerks and Go Fish and Bottle Rocket and all those first independent films.
Right.
And I was so excited. I went to Long Island. I was on the train. I went to the film festival. There was God Drives a Pontiac on the marquee. And right next to it was the panel that Kevin Smith and all these people were going to be on. And there was 300 people in the lobby. And the screening time for my film was at the exact same time of this panel. And came the screening time, and all 300 of them went in to the panel. I got back on the train and I just wept.
Oh,
it was
my
the most
God.
Demoralizing, upsetting. It was so...
Because...
I tell you, it was the crack that let the light come in.
Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used it.
That's
a
Leonard Cohen line, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Yeah.
I was devastated.
Yeah. But now, it was especially devastating because you got that expectation of a full lobby expecting something to happen.
I thought I was happening.
All right. Can I ask how many people came into your screening?
None.
Me. Not. Oh,
me.
Ouch.
It was horrifying.
Oh, man. Although, I got to say, that happened to me recently.
Screening. Did it?
Yeah, I'm not going to say the film.
Did
I'm
it?
Not going to say where it happened. I will just say that everyone in the audience had a similar last name to me. That's all I'm saying. It was a particular screening of something that I did. Don't want to say what it is. But it was exactly that. You have no idea going to a lot of these film festivals how much they're going to promote it.
You don't know.
And you don't find out until you've committed to it. You know?
Well, but you kind of came back with the New York Film Festival citing
your
series,
good job, thanks. Just placed Best Director in
Absolutely.
The...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so what the award and the award that nominated for is LA Comedy Award.
And we are nominated for Best New Comedy with the LA Comedy Awards and Funniest Actress in a New Comedy.
That's March 6th.
Awesome.
At the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Awesome. It's very, very funny. And I wish you...
Thank you so much.
We both wish you continued success with it. Looking forward to season two. Website again, if you would, Stephanie.
www.goodjobthanks.com.
.com. You're not joining.
Yeah.
We could do that. Go up a third, okay? Go up a third.
I'll start.
Oh, but it was so fun. And I'm so glad we had you for the whole hour.
My pleasure.
Yeah,
I was
that we
lucky, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brianna Parham.
Yeah.
Just because you do 8 shows a week and have a night off every once in a while doesn't mean you have to stand us up.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, what are you going to do? I'm sure she's got a good reason.
I'm sure she does.
Although she did send me an email and it's obscene. No, I'm kidding. She hasn't. She never did.
We'll get her back.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, what a pleasure. Thank you. And good luck.
Thank you.
I hope you win.
Oh.
I really do.
Thank you.
I think you do a fabulous job on this.
It's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And we will talk to you again. And Michael, I look forward to sharing the microphone with you next week.
Thank you. Always pleasure.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.